Good fach, good moed. You're listening to, I guess, what would be Amud v'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg. I'm going to try to do a daf. Going to make up for lost night seders thanks to the Pesach seders. So today we will be doing daf lamed vav, Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, Mirtz Hashem. We left off around 10 lines down, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, by the two dots. Kimcha Dechiti, so we have wheat flour. Rav Yehud Amar Borei Priya Dama, Rav Nachman Amar Shakol Nia B'Dvaro. There's a machlokas between Rav Yehud and Rav Nachman. Rav Yehud says that the bracha on wheat flour is Borei Priya Dama, and Rav Nachman is Shakol. Certainly the flour in its raw state wouldn't be a mizonos, but it does grow from the ground, but it could be that it's so different that it should be Shahakol. Amar le Rava, Rava says, Rav Nachman, lo tiflaga le de Rav Yehuda, you shouldn't argue with Rav Yehuda. You shouldn't argue with Rav Yehuda, de Rav Yochanan v'Shmuel kaimi kevasei, because Rav Yochanan and Shmuel both seem to hold like him. Dam Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel, v'chein amar v'yitzak amar v'yochanan, shemen zayis mevarchan alav b'rei p'rei ha'etz. So, he's drawing a comparison. They don't say explicitly, like Rav Yehuda, who says that on wheat flour you're going to make a Borei Priya Adama, but in a similar case, according to Rava, they say regarding olive oil that you make a Borei Priya Eitz Alma, we see. That even though the olive changed, it stays, when it became olive oil, it stays in its status as an olive, and you make Borei Priya Eitz on it. So too with wheat flour, even though it changed from the right, from the wheat stalks that it was, it still is what it was, and therefore you'd make a Borei Priya Adama on it, like Rav Yehuda. Mi dami hasan. So the Gemara response is that really similar here over here? Leis aluya acharina, hacha isle aluya acharina. The pas. He says it's not. You can't really draw that parallel between wheat flour and olive oil, because wheat flour is ground up, right? There are the wheat stalks, which are something that grow from the ground. They're ground up into flour, but that's not the final destination, right? The final evolution of the process is for it to be made into bread. However, when it comes to olive oil, so olive is improved and made and changed into olive oil, so that'll keep the bracha, because that's what it was planted for. However, the wheat flour, it's originally a plant. It's like these wheat stalks. Then you change it, but you make it into something that's qualitatively less, and there's still a future for it to become bread. Therefore, you can't really compare it. And even if olive oil would retain its bracha, because that's the elevated version of the olive, but wheat flour is not the elevated version of wheat stalks. The Gemara says, wait, is that true that if it doesn't have another improvement afterwards, then we don't say Borei Priya Adama? Ela Shahakol? They're going to make a Shahakol? Is that true that if its changed status is the final step, then we're going to make a shakol na hadam? Is that true? But we're going to prove otherwise. V'hamar Rabbi Zeira, Rav Masna, Amar Shmuel, Akara Chaya, V'kimcha Disa'ari, Mevrachin an Alayu shakol ne'abedvaro. So on a raw pumpkin and on barley flour, like Sa'ora, Kimcha Disa'ari, barley flour, we're going to make a bracha of shakol ne'abedvaro. So my lav dechite borei priyadama. Why did we mention barley flour? Why didn't we mention wheat flour? Right? I mean, it could be barley flour is really animal food. What we should be talking about wheat flour, ideally, that's a higher level. And for some reason, this teaching of Rav Zera, Rav Nasa, from Shmuel is regarding barley flour. So why didn't he mention a wheat flour? So says the Gemara, isn't it because that barley flour is shahakol, but wheat flour would be borei priya adama? The Gemara responds, "Lo, techite nami shahakol ne'abedvaro." No, it's not true. Wheat is also shahakol. Lashmi'inan techite. So then we go back to our question. So why didn't this teaching speak about wheat flour instead of barley flour? V'kol shekin desari, then we would learn a kav v'chomer, right? Meaning if you tell us that wheat flour is shahakol, then we'd say, and of course, lower quality flour like barley flour would also be shahakol. That would have been a better way to teach this teaching. For Shmuel, he should have taught it like that. So the Gemara responds, Iashmin and dechite. If it would have said wheat flour is shahakol, hava mina hani mili dechite, hava desaari lo livrich ale klal. I would have thought that for wheat, you know, are going to make a wheat flour, you're going to make a shahakol, right? It's not a typical food. It's not a normal way to eat it. It changed from its status as a wheat stalk. So I would only make a shahakol, but. But maybe I shouldn't make it on barley flour at all. Kamash malan. Therefore, it comes to teach us, indeed, that taught us specifically barley flour. Barley flour is a shahakol, but the same would be for wheat flour. Wheat flour would be shahakol as well. The Gemara, however, is bothered by this assumption that we just suggested that there would have been a havamina not to make a bracha on barley flour at all. Now the Gemara asks, "Umi garmi melech v'zamis, is barley flour any worse than salt and brine for which you would make a bracha?" As we see, Ditznan, al hamelech v'al hazamis omer shahakol neved v'ra. We say a shahakol on salt and brine. So therefore. If we make a bracha on salt and brine, surely we make it on barley flour. So what's this havamina that, you know, if you would have only said wheat flour, I would have thought you don't make a bracha on barley flour at all. So itzrich, no, we need it. Salkadaitachamina, I would have said melech v'zamis avar inish deshadi lepume. Salt and brine, there's more of a reason to make a bracha, because it's something that an inish deshadi lepume, something that a person actually typically puts in his mouth. He'll throw some salt into his mouth, he'll throw some brine into his mouth. Avakimcha desari, ho avakasha la kukyane, lo livrecha like klal, but when it comes to wheat barley flour, it's kasha le kukiani. It's like bad for like intestinal worms, as Rashi indicates. And maybe you shouldn't make a bracha on it at all. So really, there's a real havamina that even if you make a bracha on salt or brine, that maybe you shouldn't make it on barley flour. Kamash milan, no, we do make it on barley flour. And so kamash milan came into isle hanamine by bruche. Since there is hana from it, then he makes it requires a bracha. Okay, wrap the two dots. This next discussion is about kora, something of a dekel of a date palm. So it's either Rashi seems to indicate it's some like sprouts or shoots from a palm tree. Other Rishonim say this is a hearts of palm, and we're discussing the bracha of it. So kora, this kora, meaning this plant. Or plant part, Rav Yehuda Amar Bere Pri Adam, Rav Shmuel Amar Shakol Nia Bidvaro. So what's the reasoning for this? Rav Yehuda Amar Bere Pri Adam Perehu, because it's a fruit, right? This kora is something that is produced from the ground. It's edible. Not Bere Pri Eat, Bere Pri Eats, because it's not the main fruit of the palm tree, but it is something that grows from the ground. It's part of the palm tree. Therefore, it's Bere Pri Adam. V'Shmuel Amar Shakol Neved V'ro. Why? Hoel V'Sofa Lehakshos, because its end is to get hard, and therefore it gets hard. This is Rashi Shim Eino Tolsho Beito Humis Kasha Ke'etz, that if it's not harvested, if it's not detached in the proper time, it gets very hard like wood. This kora. So because of that, Shmuel says that it doesn't count as a fruit in the first place. So you have to say a shahakol on it. Amar le Shmuel le Rav Yehuda. So Shmuel then says to Rav Yehuda. Remember, Shmuel is Rav Yehuda's Rebbe, and Shmuel was the Rosh Yeshiva of Na'ada, and Rav Yehuda was his Talmud and started Pumbedisa. So Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, Shinana. It's sharp one. Kvasach mistavra. What you're saying is actually very logical. Dehat sanon, because as we see with regarding a radish, sofa lahakshos, in the end it gets hard. Umavrechinan ole, barei pri adam. Nevertheless, even though it gets hard, presumably in the same fashion, if you leave it growing for too long, it gets hard. And nevertheless, you make a barei pri adam on it. So Shmuel says that it's logical that this kora of the palm tree would also be Bere Pri Adam, as Rabbi Yehuda suggests. The Gemara, however, interjects and says velohi, but it's actually not the same case. You can't compare them. Tzanon, nate inchi adata defugla. Dikla lonati in shiadata dekora. Because regarding a radish, people plant adata de fugla with their mind, with the intentions of having the fugla. Rashi explains that the fugla is the radish when it is soft. That apparently, right, he says, le'ochlo kishu ra hushmo fugla. So they have intention that when they're planting the radish, that it's, that they're going to have it when it's soft. However, dikla, a dekel, this palm tree, lo nati inchia data de kora, people don't have in mind when they plant it that they're going to have the kora. Therefore, there's more room to say that even though the dekel will get hard, the tzinon will get hard, the radish will get hard, it'll be a barapia adama, but the kora, which will get hard, that will be shahakal because people don't really intend to eat that when they're planting it. V'chol hecha delo nate inish inshiadata dehachi lama varchinan ole. So then the Gemara asks, is it true that kol hecha delo nate inshiadata dehachi lama varchinan ole, that whenever somebody doesn't have a certain result in mind, you don't make a bracha on it, or at least a higher quality bracha, meaning you'll stick with shahakol instead of saying berer pri adama, or berer pri etz, or whatever it might be. So, but that can be vahare tzlaf, but regarding tzlaf, which is a caper bush, I don't know what that is, I just know that it's a caper bush. You can look it up on the internet later. Denate inche adate de percha, that people plant it with the intention of eating the percha, which Rashi says that's shame perio. That's like the caper berries, the fruit of this tzlaf. So that's people's intention when they plant it. If it's not, and we learned regarding this, almine nitzpa, which Rashi explains is the tzlaf. And the different types of things that come from this tzlaf, this caper bush, al ha'alin vala tamaros, on the leaves and the tamaros, which are these, Rashi says it's like these date-like leaves, different types of leaves that grow on the caper bush. So what do we say? Omer bere pri ha'adama on those. Val ha'avionos, val ha'kafrisin, but on the berries themselves and the kafrisin, which Rashi says is the klipa gadola that surrounds it. So like the encasing of the berries, so the berries and the berries themselves and the encasing, omer bere pri ha'etz. So what we see over here is that there are part, right, like the tzlaf is planted for the berries, yet we say berei prei etz on the berries and the encasing, and we say berei prei adama on the different types of leaves that come from this plant as well. So, you know, you can't tell me that just because they don't intend to plant the palm tree for the kora that you wouldn't make a higher quality bracha than shahakol on the kora. Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak, tzlaf nate inshi adata deshuta. Dekala, right? So Rav Nachum says no. Tzlaf is different because people plant tzlaf with the intention of everything deshuta that comes out, deshuta, everything that sprouts from the tzlaf. There's so many different types of things that come from it, and that's people's intention. Dikla lo nati inshi adata dekora. But when people plant palm trees, their intention is not for the kora. And even if you might have somebody who does plant it for that reason, it could be that it would just be butel to the general public who do not have that in mind. And then the Gemara Paskins, even though Shmuel praised Rav Yehuda's opinion, Hilchasa Kavase to Shmuel, the halacha follows Shmuel, and therefore, on this Kora, we're going to say Shahakol. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Now Rav Yehuda quotes Rav, saying, Tzlaf shel orla b'chutz la'aretz zorek ha'savyonos v'ochlas ha'kafrisin. So he paskins that tzlaf of orla in chutz la'aretz. So what do you do in that situation? So okay, again, like intro to orla. Within the first 3 years of a tree, the tree's existence, you're not allowed to use the fruits of that tree. You have to wait till the fourth year. Now this applies midiraisa in Eretz Yisrael, and Rashi tells us over here that in Chutz La'aretz, Medivrei Sofrim hi, it's Midrabanan. So, so we're going to have to define whether tzlaf is going to be a fruit or a vegetable. So the assumption over here, right, so Rav's paskening that what do you do if you're in Chutz La'aretz and you have this tzlaf of Orla, So you throw out the berries. You cannot eat the berries. We consider that orla. But you're allowed to eat the kafrisin, the shell, the encasing. So now the Gemara asks, Lamemra, is this to say, Dev Yonos Peri, the kafrisin lav Peri? Does that mean that the berries are considered the fruit and the shell, the klipa, is the peel, is not considered the fruit? Or a minhu, but we'll ask a contradiction, as we quoted earlier, Almine nitzbala alim vala tamaros, omer bere pri hadama. So on the two different types of leaves, the alim and the tamaros, we make a hadama. V'alev yonos, v'ala kafrisin, omer bere pri eitz. But on the berries and the kafrisin, the encasing, we make a bere pri eitz. So we see that this is categorized as part of the, seemingly as the fruit itself, and therefore it's surprising that Rav would paskin, quoted by Rav Yehuda, that you would throw out only the berries, but be allowed to eat the encasing. So the Gemara responds, "Hu d'amar Rabbi Akiva." Now this was said in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Ditznan, as we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Tzlaf Mis Aser Tamaros Sev Yonos V'Kafrisin. So Rabbi Eliezer says that if you have Tzlaf, so what do you have to take Miser off of? So you take off of the Tamaros, the Avionos, and the Kafrisin. Rabbi Akiva argues, "Ein Mis Aser Ela Avionos Bilvad." So he says that when you take off Meiser, you only have to take off Meiser of the Evionos, of the berries, and nothing else, because that is the fruit. So we see over here that Rabbi Akiva does not categorize the kafrisin with the avionos, the encasing, with the berries. So now we ask a question on the way Rabbi Yehuda taught the halacha and the name of Rav, v'neima halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. So just say the halacha is in accordance to the Rabbi Akiva. Don't say the halacha without, you know, quoting a Tanaic opinion to support it. So the Gemara responds, i'amr halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, hava mina afila ba'aretz. No, we couldn't have done that. Because had he said the halacha is in accordance to the Rabbi Akiva, so we might think that this applies even in Eretz Yisrael. Kamash malan, So this comes to teach us that no, we really don't hold like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the Makel opinion here, and we're introducing a klal that anybody who's Makel regarding Orla in Eretz Yisrael, so the halacha is in accordance with him in Chutz La'aretz. Meaning we may be machmir perhaps because of Savik Deraisa. I don't know if Savid derais lechula, but when we're dealing with the derais, so we're going to be more machmir. But in Chutz La'aretz, we're going to hold like that makel opinion because it's only going to be derabanan. So kol makel ba'aretz halacha kamosa b'chutz la'aretz ava ba'aretz lo. But in Eretz Yisrael, we do not hold like that. So if we would say if it would just be Rabbi Huda or Rav halacha k'Rabbi Akiva, so we would have said, oh, this applies even in Eretz Yisrael, which is not the case. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, okay, well, why didn't you say it like this? V'nima halacha k'Rabbi Akiva v'chutz la'aretz. D'chol ha'mekel b'aretz halacha k'mosa v'chutz la'aretz. So phrase it like that. That the halacha is like k'Rabbi Akiva in chutz la'aretz. So i'amar hachi, no, but if we would have said that, hava mina hani mili gabe meiser, ilan de ba'aretz, gufa midrabanan, ava gabe orla de ba'aretz midraisa, ema b'chutz la'aretz, nami nigzor, kamashman. So if we would have phrased it like that, we would have thought that this is that when is the halacha in accordance to Rabbi Akiva, in chutz la'aretz regarding meiser ilan. Right, taking off Meiser of the trees, which is the case that they're actually speaking about, right? Rabbi Akiva Omer in Mes Aser. So, which in Eretz Yisrael, even in Eretz Yisrael is Midrabanan. So we would hold like him in Chutzart, Aval Gabe Orla Deba Aretz Midraisa, Ema Bechutz Laretz Nami Nigzor. But maybe if we would just say Halachas like Rabbi Akiva, in Chutz Laretz, so we would have thought that it's talking about Dafka Meiser of the Ilan, and that's only because Meiser, even in Eretz Yisrael, is only Midrabanan. However, regarding something like Orla, which is Midraisa, so maybe we'd say even in Chutz La'aretz we should be, that Rabbi Akiva would be, or that we would be Machmir, because of a Gzeira the Orla Deraisa in Eretz Yisrael. Kamash Malan. So we learned that that's not the case. That's why Rav Yehuda Amar Rav stated it clearly stating the halacha, so it's clear exactly what the opinion is. Okay. Ravina Ashkechei Lamar Baravashi Dekazarik of Yonos Vekaachel Kafrisin. So Ravina found Marbar of Ashi, that he was throwing out the berries and eating the kafrisin. So this is presumably of Orla, and they lived in Chutzarts, they lived in Bavel. So he sees him throwing out the berries and eating the encasement. Amar le my data Rabbi Akiva de Mekel. He says, why are you eating the berry? Why are you eating the kafrisin and throwing out the berries? Are you holding in accordance with Rabbi Akiva because he's lenient? V'lav in mar kabe shama de makili tve. You might as well hold an even more makel opinion, a more lenient opinion, that of Beishamai. Ditznan, as we learned in the Mishnah. Tzlaf, so regarding Tzlaf, Beishamai omrim kiloyim bekerem, Beishil omrim ein kiloyim bekerem. So just when we talk about kiloyim bekerem, there's an isser of planting vegetables. Vegetables or grain in a kerem, in a vineyard. That is an isser. But trees would not be a problem. And the question is going to be the status of this fruit of the avionos. So regarding or of tzlaf. So Beis Shammai says kilayim bekerem, it's a problem of kilayim in a vineyard. But Beis Hillel omrim in kilayim bekerem, Beis Hillel say that no, it is not kilayim bekerem, therefore they consider it a tree. And elu ve'elu modim shechayev ba'arla, but both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that there is a problem of there is an isser of orla regarding the tzlaf, the caper bush, which seems to say it's a tree. So hagufa kasha. So we have an inherent contradiction in this mishnah. Amar tzlaf Beis Shammai omrim kilayim bekerem. So we said that Beis Shammai said that the tzlaf is considered kilayim bekerem alma min yereku. So we see the fact that he says it's a problem of kilayim bekerem, that he holds it's a vegetable. V'hadar tani elu ve'elu modim shechayev ba'arla. But then it goes back and it teaches that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that it's chayev and arla alma min ilanhu. So now we see that Beis Shammai holds that it's a type of tree. So they're holding it's a vegetable or a fruit. It seems both. So, hello, Kasha. This is not a question. Beis Shammai svuke mistafka hulahu. Beis Shammai had a safek. They weren't sure. Va'avdi hacha lechumra v'hacha lechumra. They treated it like the lechumra in both cases. So they say, we might be vegetable, might be a fruit, so it's going to be chayiv in orla, and it's also going to be an isser of kilayim. They were lechumra. But now, mikol makom lebeis Shammai havale safek orla. So what that means is that for Beis Shammai, it's a suffik orla. They don't consider it really orla. It's a suffik orla. Vitznan, and we learned in the Mishnah, suffik orla be'eretz Yisrael, aser, ubesuria mutter, ubechutzla aretz, yorid velokeach. So we have a halacha that we learned, that if you have suffik orla in Eretz Yisrael, so where it's midya raisa orla, so suffik deraisa luchumra, so it's aser. In Suria, right, so which is Syria, which is an area very close to Eretz Yisrael. So we say it's mutter, right? Safik derabanan lakula, and therefore if you have so we have safik orla. I'm not sure if it might be orla, it might not be orla, but it's in Chutz La'aretz, even if it's close to Eretz Yisrael. So that's going to be mutter. And then we said in Chutz La'aretz, in farther away places than Syria, so yored v'lokeach, that you can even locate. So you can even actively ask somebody to the person who owns the field, to pick the fruit for you. As long as you don't see him gather it yourself, right? Hachaver shu locate min hanatios, says Rashi, meaning that it's as opposed to the case in Surya, where if someone has fruits, so you're allowed to take, buy it from him, even if you don't know if it's Orla or not. Over here, you can even actively ask somebody to take the fruits, as long as you didn't see yourself that it's for sure from a tree that is within its first 3 years and it would be considered Orla. So, but basically, the bottom line is that Beis Shammai is going to be more makel than Rabbi Akiva, than Hillel, obviously, and Rabbi Akiva, because they don't consider the caper bush real orla. It's suffik orla. Suffik orla in chutzaretz. So Ravina's telling Mar Bar Avashi, you might as well treat it like a suffik orla in chutz la'aretz, and therefore we would if you pass on like Beis Shammai, you don't have to eat the kafrisin and throw out the vionos, throw out the berries. You can eat the berries too. So the Gemara responds, Rabbi Akiva, Makom Rabbi Eliezer, Avdinan Kavasei. No, so if you have Rabbi Akiva in place of Rabbi Eliezer, so there you can choose to go follow like Rabbi Akiva, the Makel opinion, as opposed to Rabbi Eliezer. That's acceptable. Beis Shammai, Makom Beis Hillel, ain't no Mishnah. But to choose like Beis Shammai in place of Beis Hillel is not a Mishnah. I mean, there's no such teaching that you could do such a thing. Ve'ein zeh safek elavadai, right? Meaning if you have opinions of Rabbi Akiva Eliezer, so it's unclear whom exactly to hold. Like when it comes to Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, it's so set in stone that except in our exceptional cases, we hold like Beis Hillel. So you can't just opt for the lenient opinion. So you can opt for Rabbi Akiva instead of Rabbi Eliezer, but you can't opt for Beis Shammai instead of Beis Hillel. Okay. Now the Gemara asks a new but real question on this topic. V'tepukle denasa shomer lepri. Why would you why would Rabbi Akiva, why would Mar Bar Avashi be allowed to throw out the caper bush, the berries, and eat the kafris and eat the shells? V'tepukle, what you learn is that denasa shomer lepri. It's called a shomer lepri, right? A protector for the fruit. Meaning a protection for the fruit that's naturally grown on it, and we're going to see the status of that. V'rachmana Amar, the Torah says, "V'araltem arlaso es peryo," it's orla, and you should treat it as orla, this its fruit, so that s, it seems to be extra s hatafel peryo. The word s is also teaching that which is tafel to the pre. Umainihu, says this teaching. And what is that thing that's considered tafel to the pri? Shomer lepri. The shomer lepri. Meaning that this drasha of araltim arloso es pirio comes to include the shomer lepri, the protective layer of the fruit in the Isser of Orla. With that said, the Kafrisin is just as much Orla as the fruit, as the berries themselves. So how can Mar Bar Avashi do this? How is that possible? Why isn't it considered a Shomer Lepri? And now we're going to see, I believe it's three attempts for Rava to try to reinterpret how we defined a Shomer Lepri. By the way, I forgot to mention, we've turned the Amud, we are on Lamed Vav Amud Beis. So let's see Rava's attempts to redefine the Shomer Lepri, and Rava's goal in redefining the Pri is going to try to make the kafrisin of the caper bush of the tzlaf, he's going to try to make the shell of the tzlaf not count as a Shomer Lepri, and therefore it wouldn't be included in the Yisr of Orla. So let's see Rava's first attempt to do that. So Amar Rava Hecha Amrina Denasa Shomer Lepri, where do we say that the klipa becomes considered a Shomer Lepri, and then it would be included in the Yisr of Orla? Hecha De'ise Ben Batalosh Ben Mechubar. That is where the encasing is there, whether it's attached, whether it's detached or it's attached to, meaning to the plant. Hacha b'mechubar ise betalush leise. And here, when it comes to a caper bush, so it's the kafrisin is there, when it's attached to the ground, but once it's detached, it seems that it would fall off. The encasing would fall off. Rashi says, "Sofa shenofal hema no kishem agiyelis basho." So right, that its end is that it falls off from it when it reaches its ripened status. So when you take off this, so when it's talush, it's no longer this thing is not on. Therefore, with a caper bush, it's not considered a shomer lepri. It wouldn't be included in the iser of orla. Abaye challenges that. Esve Abaye says, can't be. We have a mission that says pitma shel rimon, the pitum of a pomegranate, right? Which Rashi says it's the perach shebarosho kein sheyesh tapuchim or usparglin, so like tapuchim and Saparglin, they have these flowers at the head of it, the things on the top, something like the stem. And so this pitta, mitzterefetz, it combines. Rashi explains that regarding tumah, this Mishnah is actually a Mishnah in Uktzin, and we're talking about Tuma. So Rashi says that it's mitzurefesh lekabeta letumas ochlin, that in order for the fruit to transmit tuma, it needs to be the size of a kabeta. And we're saying that if we have a pomegranate, so let's say the pomegranate is very small, but with its pitum, it'll be the size of a kabeza and then can transmit tuma. So does that pitum count towards the kabeza size requirements for the rimon, for the pomegranate? And so we say over here, pitum shel rimon mitzterefes. That does indeed connect to it. Va'anetz shelo, and the nates of it, Rashi says that the nates of the rimon is kikafras vevyono, so it's like the nates is like this this shell. It's another type of thing at the top of it. So ein mitzdar, if that does not combine. Midgamar hanates, now we're analyzing this. Midgamar hanates shalo ein mitzdarif. So from the fact that the nates doesn't join in with the pomegranate to be considered part of the fruit that it combines for the shear for tumah, ama delav ochahu, we see that it's not considered food. Vitanan, and we learn regarding this, gabe orla, regarding orla, klipe rimon vahanates shalo, klipe agozim vahagarinim, chayvin vahorla, that the shells of, or the peels of pomegranate, and its nates as well, and the shells of nuts and seeds are chayev in arla. So Abaye's point is that you're going to tell me that the encasement of the shell of the caper berries is not considered a shomer lepri, but it's really essentially the same as the nates of the rimon. And the nates of the rimon, we have an explicit teaching, is included in orla. So the caper bush also should be included in orla. Rashi just points out, by the way, that the reason that the nates is not combined with the pomegranate for tuma is that because the nates is a shomer agave shomer, says Rashi. But nevertheless, even if it doesn't combine for the shear, the nates is still going to be usher mishum orla, therefore the kafres of the caper bush of the tzlaf should also be. And Rava accepts this refutation and offers a new pshat. Elamar Rava, heicha amrinan denasa lehu shomer leperi, when do we say that the encasing of a fruit has this halachic status as a shomer lepri, and therefore it'll be asur and orla? Hacha de ise b'shas gemar pera. So we refined it a little bit. Here it's when that encasing is there at the moment of the gemar pera, of the ripening of the fruit. Hai kafres, but the encasing of a caper bush, leisei b'shas gemar pera, is not there at the time of the ripening of the fruit. And therefore we only consider it a shomer lepri if that encasing is there when it really becomes a fruit. But when it's just like a, you know, it's not a ripe fruit yet, so it's still in its early stages, we don't consider that halachically a fruit, and therefore the encasing isn't halachically a shomer lepri. And that's Rava's understanding. Now the Gemara is going to challenge that. Amy, is that true? Is that true that an encasing is only considered an encasing to a fruit when it's halachically considered a fruit, and it's not halachically considered a fruit before it's ripening? V'amar Rav Nachman or Rabba Bar Avu, he says, Hani maschle de orla asire hoel v'nasu shomer leperi. So that these maschele de orla, which Rashi says is the tamrei kekafras betzlaf, so it's some sort of encasing for dates, and it says that this encasing for dates is aser, if they're of orla, they are aser, and meaning considered like orla. Why? Because nasu shomer lepri, they're considered a shomer lepri. And v'shomer lepri emas. And when are they a shomer to the pri? Have a bekofra. That's in their kofra. As Rashi says, Kishatmarim Kitanim Kodim Bishulam, that it's when the dates are small and they are not yet ripe. So we see Vakakari Le Shomer Lepri, Leperi, and they are considered a Shomer Leperi. They are considered a guard for the fruits. So what we see over here is, because as we challenged, as Rava suggested, he said, oh, the caper bush, the kafrisin of the caper bush are not considered a shomer lepri because they are not there at the time of the ripening, and therefore it's not considered a fruit until the time of the ripening, and the encasing is not there when it's ripe. But we see over here that we have this teaching of Rav Nachman, Amar Abba Bar Avuha, that when it comes to dates, their encasing also is only there bakufra, it's only there before the fruit ripens, and nevertheless, this encasing is considered a shomer lepri, and there's an isser of orla on it, so it seems that this is a refutation to Rava's answer. The Gemara then responds in defense of Rava, Rav Nachman Savar La Karebi Yossi. No. Rav Nachman, whom we just quoted, he actually holds like Rebi Yossi, and we're going to explain that this is really a Das Yachid. Ditznan, Rebi Yossi Omer, Samdar Asur Bebneshu Pri, that a Samdar is Asur because it is a fruit. And this Samdar, this Smadar, anybody who did a Shir either after the Seder, today, Shabbos Chol HaMoed, so you probably saw this word a couple of times. It's Samadar is these, like bud of grape buds. So they're not yet ripened grapes. And so what do we say over here? Rabbi Yossi says that a Samadar, Asur Mepnei Shehu Pri, he halachically considers them a fruit, which sounds like what Rav Nachman's saying. Rav Nachman's saying that the unripened dates that are encased with this encasing becomes a shomer lepri because the unripened dates are considered a fruit. Upligi Rabbanan Alei. However, the Rabbanan argue with Rav Yossi. So what we're saying is Rav Nachman, he holds like Rav Yossi that unripened fruits are considered halachically fruits. But that's a das yachid. The Rabbanan hold against it. Therefore, when it comes to the caper bush, also they'd be in the same category. That they, unripened caper bush, that's what has the kafrisin, and therefore, but only Rabbi Yossi would say it's halachically a fruit when it's unripened, and therefore only Rabbi Yossi would say it's a shomer lepri, but the Rabbanon, the general opinion would be not like that, which would be a defense for Maravashi, throwing out the berries, but still being allowed to eat the kafrisin. So Maskivlo Rav Shimi Mar Nahardah, but Rav Shimi from Nahardah challenges this. And he says, Ubashari Lani, me pligi Rabbanan alay, but do the Rabbanan, is this machlokas, between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan, does it really extend to other trees as well? Or is it really more of a unique grape conversation, unripened grape conversation. V'atnan, but we learned in the Mishnah Amos, I inkotzis in esei lanos b'shvius, from when do we not cut down trees into the shvius? So quick introduction over here. Rashi explains, or he doesn't explain too much, but he says, derachmana amar la'achlev lo lehefsid. Basically, there is an isser from cutting down fruit-bearing trees in during Shemitah. There's an, right, because the fruit-bearing trees are supposed to produce fruit, and you're supposed to eat them, and you can't really destroy them. So when does the Isser come into play? That's the machlokas in this mission over here. At which point of a fruit-bearing tree's growth do we, and production of fruits, do we say, okay, you're not allowed to cut this down for the wood anymore? So Beishamai Omrim, Beishamai say, Kol Halilanos, all trees, the halacha is Mishiyotziu, when they start producing their fruit. At that point, it is usher to cut down the trees. Ubeis Hillel, Amrim Beis Hillel argue, and they say, Hacharuvin, Mishishar Sharo. So, carob trees from the time that they become like chains, and Rashi explains just that when they produce caribs to the extent that it looks like chains of caribs, v'hagafanim, and grapevines, misha yegro, when there is a garua, meaning that when the grapes produced from this grapevine are the size of something that's called a geruah, which we'll define momentarily. V'hazesim, and olives, misha yanitsu, that's when they are like the size of a nates, or when at least when they grow this nates thing. V'sha'ar kol ilanos, and all other trees, misha yotsiu. That's, and all other trees other than these, the olives, grapes, and the carobs, is when they produce, when they start producing fruit. V'yom Ravasi, and Ravasi, who's an Amora, said regarding this, hu boser hu garua. This garua that we mentioned by the grapes, is the same size as a boser. Hu pul halavan, and it's also the same thing as the pul of on the white bean. So then the Gemara asks, pul halavan sakadayetach, do you think that he's talking about a white bean? No. Ella ema shi'uro kapul halavan. No, it means the shear of the size of the white bean. But basically, the boser is the garua, is the size of this pul of halavan. So this grape size, of this, like, you know, very small grape size when it's that size. So everything else, I guess, when it starts to come out, when it starts to, bud, becomes included in this iser. And there are a few exceptions, according to, Beis Hillel, where carobs have to be this chain, and zaysim when they have innates, and most importantly for our discussion, the gefanim when it's the size of a garua, which Ravasi says is the same size as a boser and a pul halavan. Okay, so what do we do with this information? So now the Gemara says, man shamat le de amar boser in smadar lo. So, about whom did you hear that they said that the boser, it is included in this iser, and the smadar, which is that those great buds that we mentioned earlier, would not be included in this iser? So Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said this in his opinion against Rabbi Yossi, Viktani, and we taught, Shar kol ilanos mishayotziu, all other trees is when it starts to sprout, meaning, the bottom line that we get from this conversation, you'll do a review and it'll hopefully make a little bit more sense. But the bottom line of this conversation is that when Rav Yossi and the Rabbanan argued about the grape buds, that's a unique machlokus regarding the grape buds. And it also could be by carobs and olives as well, but it's a unique argument by the grape buds where Rav Yossi says even when they are the size of a samadar, and the Rabbanan say no, right, I mean, as the opinion of Beis Hillel, that no, even if it's the size of a boser, but all other trees, with the exception again of olives and carobs, all other trees, they would agree that even when it first starts to sprout, that would already be included. Meaning, now backtracking, that means that Rava tried to pass off the opinion of Rav Nachman in the name of Rava Bar Abuha, regarding the dates, that it only becomes a shomer to the pri, that he says that regarding the dates, it becomes a shomer to the pri even before the date ripened. So he tried to say, oh no, that's a das yachid. That's only Rav Yossi. But we see, no. Rav Yossi is only a das yachid when it comes to the grapes. Grapes are before they ripen, but we see, it's not true. Even the Rabbanan, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, they really all agree, by most things, for example, dates and caper bushes, that it would be considered halakhically a fruit even before it ripens. Therefore, even though dates, and most importantly for our discussion, a caper bush, even though they ripen, their kafrisin, their shells, are only there up until they ripen, and they're not there when the fruit becomes actually ripened, doesn't matter because it's halakhically a fruit even before it becomes ripe, and therefore the kafrisin becomes halakhically a shomer lepri even before the fruit is ripe, and if it's a shomer lepri, then it should be included in arla. And that's back to our question. So Rava, again, is stuck having to deal with this question of how can Mar Bar Avashi throw out the berries and eat the kafrisin? Shouldn't the kafrisin be just as usur in the Isser of Orla as the berries? Rava attempts one more time. Heicha Amrina Dehavi Shomer Lepri. Okay, fine. So where do we say that it is that the it's considered a Shomer Lepri? How do we define a Shomer Lepri? Heicha Deki Shachlat Le the Shomer Maisa Pera. That it's where if you would it's considered a Shomer Lepri that if you take it away from if you take away the shell from the fruit will die. Hacha here with the caper bush Ki Shachlat Le Lo Maisa Pera. That if you take away the kafrisin from the caper bush, from the tzlaf, the berries, the avionos, don't die. And therefore, the kafrisin is not considered a real shomer lepri, and therefore it's not included in the Yisra of Arla. And we have a supportive story. Hava uvda v'shaklua l'netz de Rimona v'yavesh Rimona. There's a story about how it just happened that they removed the nates of the Rimon. They did a little bit of a science experiment. They removed the nates of the Rimon, and it dried up. V'shaklua l'percha de vitisa, but then there's another incident where they took the percha de vitisa, which Rashi over here explains that this is referring to the kafrisin of the caper bush of the tzlaf, right? He says the vitisa over here is the avionos. So he took the kafrisin off the avionos, off the tzlaf, and what happened? And it stayed alive. So this is a supportive incident, and therefore, what we see is that the kafrisin of a caper bush is not considered shomer lepri because the life of the pri does not depend on it, and therefore it would not be concluded in its era of Orla. We have a parenthesis over here, which it's quoted but the Rishonim note that this is not really from the Gemara, it's actually from the Bahag, who's one of the Gaonim, Bahalachas Gedolos, and this is his inclusion, but it's included in our Gemara even in parentheses, so we'll just read it quickly. The Hilchasa Kamar Baravashi, so that and the Halacha is indeed in accordance with Mar Baravashi, de Zarek es Avionas Ba'achas Akafrisin, that he threw out the berries of Orla, of the caper bush, of the tzlaf, and he would eat the kafrisin. Orla lav pera ninuhu, and regarding Orla, it's not the kafrisin are not considered the fruit. Lagabe brachos nami lav pera ninuhu, and they're also not considered a fruit regarding brachos. Veloma vachinon le bere priya eight. We don't say bere priya eight on the kafrisin. Ela bere priya adama. Right, it does grow from the ground, but it's not the fruit of the tree of the caper bush, and therefore we say bere priya adama. Okay. Pilpili, so what about peppercorns? Rav Sheshes Amar Shahakol, Rava Amar Lo Klum. Rav Sheshes says you say Shahakol on peppercorns. This is not the pepper, like the vegetable that you'd eat of a pepper. It's like the little, like peppercorn pieces. And so Rav Sheshes says it's Shahakol, and Rava says you don't make any bracha at all on it. Okay. Now the Gemara explains, Azda Rava Latame. And Rava is going according to his own Shita, as expected. Dama Rava, because Rava says, Kas Pilpili Biyomi de Kippure, Pater. That somebody who is Kas, Rashi says, Kol Davar Shadam Ochel Shalokadarko Mikre Kasisa. It's called Kasisa when somebody kind of like chews on something and in not the normal way of eating it. So he says, what's Rava Salah? He says, anybody who's Kas Pilpili, who chews these peppercorns on Yom Kippur, he's Pater. Spatrachis is from Kares, right? There's an Isser Kares for eating, but chewing on peppercorns would not be a problem. And similarly, Rava continues, Kas Zangavila, Biyamadikipuri, Pater. Same thing with eating raw ginger, chewing raw ginger on Yom Kippur also would be Pater from Kares. Mesve. But we ask the contradiction. Higher Meir Omer Mashma Shinemar Varaltem Arla Soes Pir Yo. So Remeir says that from the pasuk says varaltem arla so es per yo ena yodeya she eats machal who that the full pasuk says it says eats machal right it says unatatem mikizvo el aretz unatatem kol eats machal means all trees of food meaning fruit bearing trees but he says that why do you have to call it why does the pasuk have to call it an eats machal. The context is talking about Orla. So, and Orla es perio, that it's a fruit tree. So you don't have to call it an eitz machal. The pasuk could have just called it an eitz. And we would know that it's an eitz machal. It's a food bearing tree by the fact that the pasuk speaks about fruits. So what does it come to teach us? Ella ma tamalam, or rather, what is it, eitz machal? Why does it teach us eitz machal? Lahavi eitz shatam It's coming to include a particular type of fruit and tree that have the same taste. And what is that referring to? Zeapilpilin. This is referring to pepper. That pepper, the pepper tree or plant has the same taste as the pepper itself. This teaches you shapilpilin chayiv in ba'arla. That a pepper is a chayiv in arla. So you might, maybe you think it's not, maybe it's a vegetable. So you maybe think pepper is not included in arla, but this drasha, we have a masorah for it, of Eitz Ma'achal teaches us to include peppers in the chiyuv of arla. Ula lamedachan also teaches you something else. She'in Eretz Yisrael chasera klum. That Eretz Yisrael is not missing anything. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Eretz Asher lo b'miskenus tocha balechem lo sechzar kolba. That you're gonna, you know, there's no poverty and no lacking anything in your food, in Eretz Yisrael. So by having this peppercorn, and including arla, we see that Eretz Yisrael isn't lacking anything. Tzarech inan. And what's so great about that? What's so great about having peppercorn? Like now, I thought Israel has everything, or Israel is missing, like one thing it's missing is peppercorn. Nope, it has that too. It's worth discussing further, but not for now. Lil Kasha. But anyway, the bottom line is that we don't have a question over here, right? I mean, let's just explain the question quickly. So Rava says that peppercorn is not edible. Essentially, that's what he's saying. That's why you can eat it on Yom Kippur. You can chew it on Yom Kippur. That's why you don't make a bracha on it. But over here, we say that we have a whole drasha that it's something that you take, that there's orla for, and it makes Eretz Yisrael not lacking in anything. So, lo kasha. That's not a question. Ha beretivsa, ha beyaveshta. This is where it's wet, where it's moist, and this is where it's dry. When it's dry peppercorn, so that's what Rava's talking about, that you can't chew it on Yom Kippur, and that's what Rava's talking about, that you don't make any bracha on it. And presumably, it wouldn't be a machlokas if not, so I think Rav Shesh is also, agrees that we're talking about that one, but he agrees with the argument that, meaning, Rava says that if it's dry, then you don't make a bracha at all. And presumably Rav Sheshes would say that even if it's dry, you still make a shahakol. But of course, everyone agrees, Rava and Rav Sheshes would agree that if it's moist, that there is a bracha you make on it, and eating on Yom Kippur would be a problem. Amri le Rabbanan limer meimar, the Rabbanan sitra meimar, kas zan gavila biyoma de kipurei pater. Right, so as Rava said, chewing ginger, raw ginger, on Yom Kippur is pater, but that can be. V'homer Rava, but Rava said, "Hi, hemalta da asya mebei hendoi sharia umavrachinan alei borei pri adama." That if you have this hemalta, Rashi says is a liot tarun belaz, which is it seems to be some sort of ginger food, some cooked ginger food. Da asya mebei hendoi, that comes from the place of the Hindus or from India. Rashi interestingly says from Kushim, which usually is interpreted as Ethiopia. There's an interesting discussion of whether modern day Ethiopia is Kush, or is the Kush mentioned in Tanakh actually referring to India. It's an interesting discussion. So anyway, but that's not really the point for now. Anyway, this stuff that comes from the Hindu, and so the Hindu is Sharia, so it's permitted. And we make a Berei Pri Ha'adama on it. So the Chiddush over here says Rashi is Sharia ein ba lo mishum bishuli nachrim ve lo mishum giuli nachrim. So right, we're talking about Gayim over here, and they're giving us a cooked dish, and we're concerned about that, but bishul akum, the issur of having food cooked by a non-Jew, is only a problem if the food could not be eaten before, and if the cooking that the guy did it made it edible. But so the fact that we're allowed to eat this cooked ginger dish from the Hindus, that would indicate, and we make a bracha on it, that would indicate that ginger was edible beforehand. But Rava says that it's so inedible that you could chew it on Yom Kippur without an isser. So lo kasha, again, it's not a question. Ha beretivsa, ha beyabeshta. This is the difference again. If it's moist, then it's edible even before being cooked. But if it's dry, then that's not considered edible. Okay, chavitz kedera. If you have this dish called a chavitz kedera, which Rashi says, min macho kafui kamo chilev. So it's like this like congealed dish of honey and oil and wheat and kimcha vedovsha ve'umemashcha. So it's like this wheat dish that's like congealed. V'chein daisa, and also this porridge that's shelchitim ketushas benachteshas, right? So some sort of like wheat grit porridge. So what's the bracha on these things? Rav Yehuda Amar Shakol Nebed V'Rav. Rav Yehuda says it's Shakol. Rav Kahana Amar Borei Minei Mezonos. That Beis Mem is Borei Minei Mezonos. So that this machlok is over here. So Bedaisa Greda with this porridge alone, Kuli Amalo Pligi De Borei Minei Mezonos. Everyone would admit that porridge, wheat porridge is going to be mizonos. That's pashut. So what are we talking about here? Ki pligi, when do we argue? Bedaisa ke'en chavitz kadeira. When the daisa is made like the chavitz kadeira. This chavitz kadeira, has a lot of honey in it. And, it would seem that people eat it really for the honey. So, Rav Yehuda Amar Shahakol, Rav Yehuda says that this chavitz kadeira and also, this specific type of daisa that is more similar to a chavitz kedera than a typical daisa is shahakol savar dovsha ikar, because he says the honey is the ikar, that people really eat these things because of the great amounts of honey. They like the taste of it, the honey and the grains, the wheat is basically secondary to it. Therefore, the bracha you would make is shahakol. Rav Kahana Amar Borei Minei Mezonos. No, he says Mezonos. Why? Savar smida ikar. He says that the smida, Rashi says the solace, the flour is the ikar. Now, even if it's not the purpose, meaning it's not the ikar, it's that fact that it's the taste, but that it always, that Mezonos stuff will always become the ikar if it's there to enhance the taste in some way, even if it's not the main thing that people are eating it for. Amar Rav Yosef Kavaseid Rav Kahana. Rav Yosef says, in accordance with Rav Kahana, Rav Yosef says, Kavaseid Rav Kahana Mistavra. Rav Kahana's approach is more logical. To Rav Vishmuel de Amri Tavayu, because Rav and Shmuel both said, Kol Sheish Bo Mechamishas Aminim, Mevarchan Lav Borei Minei Mezonos. They both said that somebody, that anything that has in it one of the five minim, right, the five types of wheat, barley, that I always spelt, one of these five foods, you say Borei Minei Mezonos on it. Therefore, this machlokus of what's the ikar, is the fact that there's Mezonos food in it, does that automatically become the ikar, or is the thing, right, the main thing they want to put in, the taste, the people really eat this for the honey portion of it, so is that the ikar? So Rav Yosef says really the former, but in the Gemara, the latter approach is correct. Rav and Shmuel both agree that if it has one of the five types of green in it, the bracha is mezonos, even if that's not the main part, whether quantitatively it's not the main part or even the purpose, but those will automatically become the ikar. We'll hold off here, three lines from the bottom, and continue tomorrow night, Mirtz Hashem. Yishakoach.